adoption of children in our family has taught us, taught me especially. An adopted child is no less a son or a daughter than my natural born children. And to apply that in a spiritual sense, I have learned that to be a son of God makes me no less his son than his true son. Adoption has changed my life, but it's also changed my relationship with my Father in heaven.
I love the last line of that. Adoption has changed my life, but it has also changed my relationship with my Father in heaven. What a beautiful story. And today, as we continue through our series on Ephesians, the word and the concept that we're going to center in on today is this idea that I am adopted. Now, when we hear that phrase, adoption or adopted, a lot of times we think of other people. We think of that person that we know who was adopted into a family, or we think of that family that has adopted someone into their home. But what we don't think about is the fact and the idea that we are adopted as well. In Ephesians, we talk a lot about identity, and this morning, the idea of identity that we're looking at is this identification as one who has been adopted by God. And so as we work this out, my hope is that it will deepen your relationship with the Father. That as this man said, his understanding and experience with earthly adoption has helped him and has changed his relationship with his Father in heaven. I hope that yours will be changed as well. We are in Ephesians chapter 1 today, verses 5 through 6. So I want to invite you to turn there. Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 6. And as we go through this series, I hope that you are continually reading this book on your own. There are 6 chapters in Ephesians. You can read 1 chapter a day, and then on that last day, read 1 chapter out of the Psalms or something like that. But we should be reading Ephesians together, collectively, growing deeper into this book, and that's my hope over time. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about the idea that we are chosen, that the blessings we've received in Christ, of those blessings, one of them is that we were chosen by God. That he drew us to himself. And today, as we continue in this, we're looking at 2 more verses plus 2 words. And that'll make sense in a moment. If you're able, I want to invite you to stand as we read this passage together. We're going to start at the very end of chapter 4. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Father, will you add a blessing to the reading of your word this morning? May this concept of adoption be made clear today. For those who are here and don't know you, may this be an invitation and an opportunity to be a part of your forever family. May my words be clear this morning. May our hearts be open to your spirit as he moves through this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, almost every translation of Scripture that you will find puts those first 2 words, in love, together with verse 5. Even though they come at the end of verse 4, almost all of our English translations put those together. So I am going to steal those 2 words from Pastor Matt's passage last week so that we can have, if you will, a framework. At the beginning of this passage, it says in love. And then when you get to the end, you read that these blessings are given, all right, in the beloved. So what we're reading here is really bookended, if you will, by God's love. And that's important for us to understand the context in being love here. Sometimes when we get to difficult parts or we get to a difficult passage or there are words that are used that intimidate us, we struggle with how to interpret it, how to work through it. All right, but here we know that what we're going to look at comes in love and comes through the beloved. So God's love permeates through this passage. And that makes it easier for us to take, even if we don't fully understand everything in it. I have taught 2.5 children how to ride a bike. The half is because he's not quite there yet, but we're going to get there. All right, and in so doing, you say a lot of things to your kids. Children don't understand the physics behind a bike. I don't know that I do. All right, because, you know, it doesn't make sense. They have the training wheels so it won't tip over. You take the training wheels off and you tell them to ride, the first thing they think is, well, it's going to tip over. And that kind of makes sense. No one stands a bike up and it just stays there. The bike has to keep moving. That's a hard thing for kids to get. All right, because half the time when I'm teaching my children to ride a bike, I'm yelling at them, keep pedaling, because they get going and they're like, oh, look at them, doing fine, and they forget to pedal, and then they just kind of start to veer, and then they boom, all right? The way in which I'm able to get my children to kind of do what I'm saying when it comes to riding a bike is I am kind of taking a deposit, or I'm taking a withdrawal out of the account of trust that they have in me. Right? Dad loves me. Dad tells me to do good things. Dad doesn't hurt me. So he's telling me that he'll be there. I'll be there by the bike. I'm coming with you. He's telling me what to do, so I'm going to try. And so they try. And they're able to succeed. When we come to a passage like this and we see that this is done in love, then even though some of it might not make sense, and even though some of it is hard for us to understand, and some of it is hard for us to grasp, we know it's in love. So we believe it by trust and by faith. This passage here is about God's love. And the word that Paul uses in this passage really to display the love of God in a bright and picturesque way is this word adoption. The entire passage is built around it, and it's easy for us to read it and just move on, but we should stop and we should consider what Paul is saying, because this is a beautiful part of our salvation, all right? That we've been adopted, we've been received into the relationship with God, and we have been given the full benefits of being God's child. And this is an aspect of salvation that we pass over very quickly. We're very concerned with forgiveness. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. So we want to be forgiven from that. And so once we get that, we're ready to just plow through this. Well, we understand then everything about our salvation that we need to know. I'm forgiven. Forgiveness brings you back really to point zero. It means that what you did is no longer counted against you. When we are adopted into God's family, now we are given the full rights as a son. We are made a part of his family. John Stott says that in adoption, there's both a plus and a minus. There's an immense gain and a necessary loss. The gain is that we have now access to the Father through redemption, through the forgiveness of Christ. But we lose our blemishes. We begin to lose what we have done wrong or who we are in our past by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit until we're finally made perfect in heaven. And so this morning, what I want to do is understand a little better how this immense gain and necessary loss come to pass. The first thing that we see is that I'm adopted by God. The first phrase in the passage is this: in love, he predestined us for adoption. Paul is making it clear here, as he will make it clear throughout Ephesians, that nothing you have done has brought you salvation. Nothing you've done, not the Bible verses that you've memorized, all the patches you had on your Awana vest, all right, all the mission trips that you've been on, all the campaigns that you've given to, everything, none of that brings you salvation. In love, he predestined us for adoption. This is all language of God doing something. We don't achieve adoption. We're given adoption. In this phrase, there's an intimidating word, predestined. Predestined is an intimidating word. And a word like that can become a paralyzing concept. A word like that divides people. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to be predestined? And we believe this and we believe that. Here is how Paul is kind of using this word. Remember, in a context of love and in a context of adoption, it's meaning that we are marked out beforehand. That's another word that Paul uses to refer to the plans that God has had for his people from eternity past. As Pastor Matt said last week, words like this tend to divide. Words like this tend to divide, but this is not a language here of division. It's language of love, and it is language of choice, but it's of God's choice in love. Brian Chappell says this, that predestination was never meant to be a doctrinal club used to batter people into acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Yet people do that sometimes. He says, rather, the message of God's love preceding, coming before our accomplishments, and then outlasting our failures is meant to give a profound sense of confidence and security in God's love, so that we will not despair in situations of great difficulty, pain, and shame. This is done in love. You did not bring about your adoption. God did. We're adopted by Him. Paul is doubling down on that. You know, the idea of adoption makes for wonderful stories. It makes for wonderful literature, great movies. Some of you have seen Annie. And in Annie, she is ultimately adopted by Daddy Warbucks, but it takes time. Daddy Warbucks doesn't know that he needs a daughter or wants a daughter or anything like that. But she captures his heart. Beautiful story, but not a picture of God. God isn't moved by what we do. He doesn't look down and say, oh, heaven would be better if I had this person. He doesn't do that. He knows us in our fullness and adopts us out of His love for us alone. And in so doing, then, we become, in love, a part of His forever family. The phrase forever family is a word that is used a lot in adoption and orphan care circles. It means that what we hope for every child is that at some point they become a part of a family, a forever family. Some children in the foster care system, of which in Michigan there are at least 40,000 children today that will wake up in a foster home. Of those children, some will return home to their parents. They will be reunited with their biological family, and we will pray and hope that that will grow into their forever family, that they will never be pulled apart again. Others will be adopted into other families that are not biologically driven, all right, but instead are brought together through the beautiful choice of adoption and are then considered and called a forever family. And then there are many children who are waiting. Many children who are waiting to be a part of a forever family. A forever family provides that sense of permanence, that place to belong, that unit to be a part of. And in a very real way, we are spiritual orphans apart from God. We are spiritual orphans apart from God, and we have no spiritual family until we are adopted into His forever family, until we are brought in through Jesus Christ to a part of God's family. I have seen and I believe that the world, the people in our society and in our culture are searching for acceptance. They are searching for belonging in a way in which, in a very real way in which some people are searching for a family. But what they are looking for in the end is not acceptance. It's not affirmation. It's not approval. It's not pride of something. What they're looking for is something that will only be fulfilled through an adoption into God's family, through being brought into the forever family of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have by God. That's what He has predestined us for, that adoption into His family. I love thinking of the stories of this church. We have people who've come from all kinds of backgrounds. We have people who were raised in a cult. We have people who in middle school, you were mean girls. All right, in high school, you were mean girls too. We have people who went off to college and barely remember it. We have people who were in gangs. We have people who drove around motorcycles in a menacing way. We have all kinds of people in this church. And they are brought together through adoption into one family. And that means two things, that we're part of a forever family, that we're connected here. And it also means that we're not always going to get along. You know, sometimes we talk a lot about the church, and I want you to think that this is a great and wonderful place, but there will be times where people irritate you because we're family, and that happens, all right? We've been adopted into one big, messy family, all right? But it's a great and glorious one, and it's a forever family. In Christ, we are adopted into that. One of the songs we sang said, "We are all searching for answers only You provide," and those answers are found in this family. Second key truth is this about our spiritual adoption. I am adopted through Christ. Through Christ. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. We've already touched on this briefly, But our adoption is not a result of what we've been able to do or accomplish. Instead, our adoption takes place through Christ. That word through is a teaching word. It reminds us of how we got here. I think I bring shame to my father in two ways. He would never admit it, but two ways. One, there was a period of time in my life where I was on a bowling team and I wore stolen bowling shoes and used a pink bowling ball. And I don't think my father appreciated that. He told me that one time. The other thing that my father does not appreciate is the fact that I don't have any kind of directional skills whatsoever. I don't even know how to get home half the time. When Becky and I first got married, it became a bit of an issue of contention where she'd say, I can't believe you don't know where we're going. And I would say, I never know where we're going. You need to help me. And you know, we would get lost. Say, how did you get lost? I used to think I-75 and 275 were the same thing. All right? That's how bad at directions I was. Now, in our marriage, through the grace of God, she just knows, turn. I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, you're going to turn left here. You can drive fast. All these, she just is my GPS right there with me. But my father and my father-in-law, great men, both of whom are like wired like a GPS. It's sickening. You can put my dad down anywhere and be like, well, that's east. This is west. If we walk this way, I smell water, you know, and he'll get us to like a river or something. My father-in-law, when he gives me directions, loves to say, he gives me how to get there, and then four alternate choices, which is like death by direction now, because I barely heard the first set, and now I'm hearing, well, you could, and if you wanted to, when you go across the railroad track, all these things, all right? But for them, when I get there, my father-in-law always wants to know how I get there, all right? So I just it's wrong probably, but whatever he says the first way, I'm like, yes. Like, oh, now did you come through Oneida? Yes. Maybe. I don't really know. But he'll ask all the time, how did you get there? And that word through becomes the way in which I have gotten from one place to another. I got here through this. I went through that city. I drove through that light while it was flashing or whatever. I got there through this way. We are adopted through Christ. That's how it happens. Not you, not me. It happens through what Jesus has done. The adoption that takes place is through him. During Paul's time, adoption was a legal process, and it would take place and it would happen through a legal action. Many people during his time adopted. It wasn't always done out of care for an orphan, but it was more often done, especially in the upper classes, out of a desire to keep the family business going, keep the family name alive, and to bring in someone successful into the family that would ensure that the family would continue in the way that the father was hoping that it would. And so they would initiate a legal action to bring in someone. The men would observe and would say, This young man, I will bring my cousin or my nephew or someone else. I'm going to bring them into my family. I'm going to make them legally my heir, and they are going to keep our family going. Sometimes this was even done over and above a biological son. If a family had a biological son and they thought the guy just can't cut it, they might bring in someone else. And they would initiate that legal proceeding that would bring that son into that family. And when they did that, the legal action that took place made a bond legally that was stronger than the biological bond. In Roman culture, you could disown your own child, disown a biological child. You could not disown, it was very hard to disown, a child who became yours through adoption. That unification, that bond was so strong and in many cases was irrevocable. In our spiritual adoption, there's an action by which our adoption becomes possible. And that action is what Jesus has done on the cross. What he has done, his death, his sacrificial atonement, makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Our adoption is possible through Christ. And for us, that means that, again, we have to fight the temptation of thinking that we did something here, that we accomplished this, that we brought this about. All right? We have done nothing. It is not about us. It's about Jesus. And we will fight this tendency until we are dead to the world. We have to remind ourselves of that every day, because that concept that it's not us, it's him, that he has adopted us, is so central to understanding then that this relationship that we're in cannot be broken. Because if I chose him, then I can walk away. But because he chooses me and that bond is irrevocable, I don't have that option. I am a part of his family. One of the sad things about foster care is that some children go from home to home with really nothing more than what they have in a black garbage bag. One of our foster children showed up with just a black garbage bag, all she had. One shoe on and a black garbage bag. And when they show up with that, that's what they have in that moment. And they come to understand the picture of a black garbage bag, meaning that I'm leaving. And so there are stories of kids coming home from school and seeing the trash not put away outside and seeing a black garbage bag outside, and they immediately begin to cry because they think, I'm leaving again. Okay, this family now doesn't want me, or I've done something, or someone else, I'm going somewhere else, and that's what begins to go through their heart. God is not, this relationship that we have with him is not a foster relationship. There's no chance that he's going to look and say, we gave it a try. No one is going to show up to take you somewhere else. You're not going to be removed out of this family because it's not about you. It's not about what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do. It's about Jesus. And since what Jesus did was once and for all time, you cannot undo that. You're a part of this. It's not about us. It's about him. As Brian Chappell says, he signed the adoption papers, so to speak, with his blood. Nothing can cancel the work that he did for us. And we are free then from the fear of falling away. The third truth about our spiritual adoption is that we are adopted for God's glory. For God's glory. There's a purpose to our adoption. And that purpose is not ultimately that you're happy. It's not ultimately that you spend eternity in heaven. It's not ultimately that you have purpose in life. These are great things, wonderful things. But the ultimate purpose of your adoption is for God's glory. Paul says that we are adopted according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That phrase, to the praise of his glorious grace, is phenomenal. And what it means is that in adopting us, that action that God does brings glory to him. It causes others to look and see. And it reminds us that our adoption is not about ourselves, it's about something bigger. It's about God continually revealing himself to humanity as the one place in which we will find purpose, joy, love, and hope. And we see that when we see his glory. And so our adoption becomes a picture of that. Our earthly adoptions, when those take place then, become something by which we can show God's grace. The praise of God's grace, that purposeful word of praise, can be shown in both our spiritual adoption and in our earthly adoption. All right, so what I did this week is I asked some of our adoptive families to send in pictures. To send in pictures of their families either around or during the time in which someone was adopted into their family. This is a picture of Eli LeMaster, who was up here earlier on the day that he was legally adopted. And what I want you to see is the joy that is on the faces of these people. All right, there is joy there. There's joy in that. This is a picture of the DeVroys from a few weeks ago, where Brianna was adopted officially by Brian. There's joy here. Here we have a picture of Joey and Katie Henstock when they were adopted by their grandmother. Look at the joy on Katie's face. This is the Arnts as they're celebrating Abe's adoption in Disney World. They're in Epcot there, if you could tell. I could see Paris in the back. That's beautiful. All right, next picture. Just saw that now. This is my family. This is the only picture we could find with all of us smiling. All right, we're not all looking at the camera, but there, hopefully you see and sense the joy that exists in our home. All right, this next picture, this is Pastor Matt and Josh and Jane when Josh was adopted. And this picture is the one I want to talk about a little bit, not because he's my boss and I want to suck up or anything. All right, but this is Caleb's adoption. You can see also Pastor Matt has hair. Get your cameras out. Take a photo. But do you see the joy? You see the joy on the faces of the children? Do you see the joy on the faces of the parents? All right, and what this does is it pictures two things. When we look at the children, All right, we get a sense of the joy that comes in family, in forever family that comes to us spiritually. When we realize that we're part of something bigger, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a joyful thing. And it brings joy to us. But then when we look at the faces of the parents, I think that we get a sense of the joy that God takes in adopting each of us. All right, God isn't like up there in heaven going, well, we have 7 million. Do we really need another? Let's adopt one more. What's one more going to do? I think that God rejoices in the beauty of the relationship of the Trinity every time another soul is adopted into this kingdom. I think that every time the same joy that God expressed when that first believer came, the same joy for the thief on the cross is the joy for you and me. The same joy for Paul when he turns from a life of terrorism to Jesus is the same joy for you and me. The same joy for that person, you know, that we celebrate their testimony because they were doing everything wrong and then they came to Jesus in a sudden turnaround. The same joy for them is the joy for us, because God can't be less joyful for one person than he is for another, because God is the perfect example of joy. We've been adopted into this family for the praise of his grace, so that when his joy is seen and when we're able to express that to other people, either through a celebration of our spiritual adoption or even the praise of an earthly adoption, we give people a sense of God's glory. We give people an opportunity to hear again that they can be a part of what God is doing. This is what God does. Our adoption displays his glory. But our adoption, and even earthly adoption, it comes up short. Earthly adoption comes up short. It provides wonderful opportunities. Just last week at a baseball game, a grandparent finally had the courage to ask, so your family, a little different. What happened there? You know, and so we could get an opportunity to explain that and how I've been adopted by God. We want to show that off, and we love this girl. And it becomes an opportunity to express that. But it comes up short. Because most adoptive families, when they go in, you get a checklist and you look through and you kind of say, well, we'll take this kind of shit, but maybe not here because we're not equipped for this. We don't feel called to that, or we've prayed about it and here's our window. And so you're most of the time, you're kind of looking for a child that you, in a sense, feel a mutual connection to, and that they will be a blessing to us and we will be a blessing to them. Usually. There are some whose hearts are so open that they will take anyone, and then they will say that child has been a blessing to them. So there's always this mutual sense of blessing. God doesn't do that. Again, God isn't looking for someone who's going to be able to bless him. All right? God does something even greater. I don't know of any family who's ever said, you know what, I want to adopt someone specifically who's rebelled against me. I'm specifically looking for someone who will cause me and has caused me great pain. I'm specifically looking for someone who killed one of my other children. No one says that, but God does. God, in his loving adoption, goes out of his way not just to find the child that will fit or anything like that. He goes and adopts the very people that nailed his son to the cross, and he brings them to himself. And that is how our adoption most displays his glory, most displays his grace. And it means that our story proclaims God's glory. So you need to let your story be known. Talk about how God brought you into his family. It's okay if you're caring for adoptive children or foster children to say that the reason ultimately that you're doing this is because it's what God has done for you. God adopts us because it's what's best for us. And because he takes joy in pouring his grace out and on seeing us united to his family forever. As we began this passage in this sermon a few minutes ago, we saw the beginning of a video. We heard from a man who talked about how earthly adoption has helped him to better appreciate the spiritual adoption he has. That interview is from a song called Children of God, which is by Third Day. It's about 6 or 7 years old at this point. But we're going to watch the rest of that video as we close this morning. And I want you to see a couple things. First, I want you to see how they dramatize our own spiritual adoption alongside of the beauty of earthly adoption. And I think it makes the point in even a better way than I've been able to say this morning that every believer has been adopted into a forever family. And then there's a particular section of the song where the lyrics, I think, are especially pertinent to what we've talked about today. Children of God, sing your song and rejoice, it will say, for the love that He's given us all. Children of God, by the blood of His Son, we have been redeemed, and we can be called children of God. A mystery is revealed to the universe. The Father above has proven His love. Now we are free from the judgment that we deserve, and so we are called the children of God. Watch this.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To Him we will sing. In His great mercy He has given us life. Now we can be called
children, women redeemed, women forgiven. We are the sons and daughters of our God. We are the saints, we are the children, women redeemed, women forgiven. We are the sons and daughters of our God.
Would you stand and continue to sing that?
Children of saints, God,
we are
sing your song and rejoice for the love that he has given us all. Oh, children of God, by the blood of his Son, we have been redeemed and we can be called children of God.
We are the saints, we are the children, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we are the sons and daughters of our God. We are the saints, we are the children, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we are the sons and daughters of our God.
Father, we are grateful that we've been adopted into your forever family, not because of anything that we have done, but we've been adopted by you. We've been adopted through Christ, and we've been adopted to the praise of your glorious grace. As we leave here today, may we leave in the joy of knowing that, and may that joy overflow into how we approach and how we interact with others this week, so that your glory and your adoption may be seen clearly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children of God, sing your song and rejoice.